everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the law school is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on 29 AM and FM radio stations 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on tax protest in the scriptures when we come back. Hey, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 41% of what you create and produce. Government gets 59%. Now, that's about $20,000 for you and about $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just kind of real special? And if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Now go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year, and you'll net 24% and the government will net 76%. Isn't that even more special? That means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. That's 8% more net take-home pay. For producing twice as much, you get 8% more, and that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only net 24% of it, don't you think? Now, why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information and answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much for so little received. And let me teach you how to do that in my Tax and Status School, which is now available on compact disc for adult homeschooling. Now, to order your free general law CD package, all you have to do is call direct 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967, or go to the website georgegordon.org, click onto the email. Send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, recently, President Bush had this to say about the income tax. He said, President Bush said that abolishing the U.S. income tax system and replacing it with a national sales tax was an idea worth considering. It's an interesting idea, Bush told an asked President Bush campaign forum here. He said, you know, I'm not exactly sure how big the national sales tax is going to have to be, but it's the kind of interesting idea that we ought to explore seriously. Republican economists who speak regularly to the White House have said that the Bush campaign has been mulling the idea of an overhaul of the tax code as part of an agenda for a second term, should Bush win re-election. Well, some lawmakers have floated ideas of simplifying the tax code by putting in place a flat income tax rate or in other words, a national sales tax, but those ideas have so far not gained very much traction in Congress. Opponents say such a system would not be in the best interests of the poor and the middle class, who would pay the same tax rate as the wealthy, even though they have less disposable income. I just thought I'd share that with you, because this thing of the income tax, or taxation in general, isn't something that just came up in the last 20 or 30 years with the tax protest movement. It's been going on for thousands of years. In fact, the Bible has numerous examples of tax protesters. Yeah, that's right. Gideon was the first tax protester. We'll take a look at Gideon here in a minute. But, you know, people are always arguing over, well, gee, the rich don't pay as much tax as I do. There's a tax system scheduled in the Bible. It's called the tithing system, and everybody, rich and poor, free and bond, pays 10%. 10%. That means if you make $1 million a year, you pay $100,000 in tax. If you make $100,000, you pay $10,000 in tax, and if you pay you make $10,000, you pay $1,000 in tax. And of course, that doesn't fit with the second plank to the Communist Manifesto, which calls for a heavy progressive income tax. See, with a heavy progressive income tax, it fixes God's mistake. Yeah, God, he had that tax thing all wrong. You know that as well as I do. And God, not understanding communism, socialism, equality, and fairness, taxed everybody 10%. And then along came the Federal Reserve System in 1913, and we created a more equitable tax system. See, what we do is we tax the rich 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much as we do the middle class, and we tax the middle class 2 or 3 times more than we do the poor class, and then the poor people in the country, they don't pay any taxes at all. Well, that's what we're told, isn't it? Yeah, poor people get an income tax credit. So if you're making below a certain amount of money, the government sends you a check every year. I've always wondered where the government gets all this money and all this largesse. For instance, they're going to give away free drugs to the elderly. And I always ask myself, where does the government get all this money to buy all these drugs for the old people? And then this income tax credit. You know, where does the government get all this money to send all these poor people $1,000 or $2,000 a year? Gosh, the government must be very, very wealthy, don't you think? I mean, they just got lots of money. Well, they got control of the printing presses, and they can print all the money that they need, can't they? I've always said, you know, if we really wanted to attack poverty in America, really get serious, you know, why don't we just print up $1 million for every man, woman, and child in America and then send that out at Christmas time? You know, about 3 weeks before Christmas. Everybody in America gets $1 million in $100 bills. Wouldn't that be just real special? I bet you'd just be beside yourself with hope and expectation, wouldn't you? Because now you'd be an instant millionaire. Isn't that what you've always wanted to be, an instant millionaire? And think about it, everybody else in America would be an instant millionaire also, wouldn't they? What would that do to the purchasing power of a $100 bill if everybody in America was a millionaire in the morning? Do you think that a bus driver who's working for $40,000 a year today, if he had $1 million, would go to work in the morning and drive his bus? Do you think a taxi driver who hits the lottery, makes $1 million, is going to go back to work in the morning and drive taxi cab? You know, I'm oftentimes bemused by the simplicity that people apply to money and monetary policy. We are motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, and lust and greed seem to be the two at the top of the list. Everybody just wants more, more, more. Nobody has enough. Everybody wants more. Even the government wants more. Now, here's the government comes along and says, gosh, you know, we need a sales tax. Well, they got that over in Europe. And over in Europe, people pay 60% of everything they create and produce to the government with their VAT tax. That's your value-added tax. I just sit there and I kind of muse to myself. It was Paul Warburg came to the United States back in the early 1900s and said, what Americans need is a central bank like all the nations of Europe. And so we adopted the central bank and got an income tax right along with it, just like they had. And I have to ask myself, hey, listen, weren't we the richest, most powerful, and prosperous nation in the world in 1900? And hadn't we become the richest, most powerful, and prosperous nation in the world in 113 years without any foreign aid? How'd we do that? Seems like to me that if you wanted to fix your economy, you'd go back to doing what it was that you did from 1787 to 1900. Because America grew and became the wealthiest, most powerful, and prosperous nation in the world without any foreign aid, with hard money, gold and silver coin. Did it in 100 years. No other nation in the world's ever done it. Not that fast. Not that rich. Not that prosperous. now we're sitting here chuckling to ourselves and saying, gosh, how are we going to raise more money for the government? Well, we need a national sales tax. Now, do you people really believe that what you need is a national sales tax? Doesn't your state tax you enough? I can remember in California when they put on a 1% sales tax back in the 1950s, and then they raised it and raised it and raised it. It's around 7 or 8% now, isn't it? Here in Missouri, it's 7%. I've heard some states have a tax as high as 10%. Now you need a national sales tax to go on top of that state sales tax? Come on, boys and girls, it would seem like to me that we ought to be brighter than that somehow or another, don't you? Well, tax protest in the scriptures goes clear back into ancient times. Judges 6 verse 11 records Gideon as being the first tax protester. And there came an angel of the Eternal and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So here was Gideon hiding his grain from the Midianites. You see, they were under military occupation, kind of like the Iraqis under American military occupation, and I'll just bet you that there's a bunch of Iraqis over there hiding their assets from the Americans. Just like the Americans were hiding their assets from the British. I mean, after all, that's what our revolution was all about, wasn't it? Tax rebellion. Now, it has been rumored about that Jesus paid his taxes and that he told us to pay taxes to our government. Have you ever heard that? Well, that's just so much propaganda. And the two scriptures that are used to promote that propaganda are cited off point and out of context. You ought to listen to these two stories. They're used to promote this pay your taxes theme from government and religion. And it's government and religion that are telling you to pay your taxes to the United States of America and California, not the Bible. You can get that. You can get that out of the Bible, boys and girls. But there are two scriptures, one in Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27, the other is in Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Listen to this. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute came to Peter and said, well, does not your master pay tribute? And he said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, well, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, well, of strangers. And Jesus said unto him, then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you've opened his mouth, you'll find a piece of money. You take that piece of money and give it unto them for me and for you, for me and thee. Then in Matthew 22:15 through 22, he said, then went the Pharisees and they took counsel as to how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that you are true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for you regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, and he said, why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny, and he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they saith unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he to them, render therefore unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled, and they left him, and they went their way. So they came to the Messiah, and they said twice. Once they came to Peter and said, hey, does your master pay tax? And Peter said, yeah, he does. And then they came to him a second time and said, hey, is it lawful for us to pay this tax to the Romans? And then Jesus put him in their place. Now, hang on, we'll be right back with more. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks to the Communist Manifesto. These programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. The income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires of us that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires of us that we commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. And the income tax requires that we sign contracts with these foreign and alien gods in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. Social Security violates the strict liability statute in Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. And Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. And then we're taught to call that income redistribution, but the scripture calls it covetousness and theft, in violation of Exodus 20, verses 15 and 17. Now, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way in our federal constitution in Article 1, Section 10, and that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn how to practice Article 1, Section 10 of our constitution. Now, for more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school and ask for my free general law CD package. That's 417-273-4967. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. That number again, 417-273-4967. Now, tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, just go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? All right, we're talking about the first tax protester, Gideon. Tax protesters in the scripture. And I just read these two scriptures. I was in an audit one time up in Boise, Idaho, and an IRS agent said Jesus paid his taxes. I bet the guy was a Christian. Probably paid his taxes and thought he was doing God a great service. Jesus never paid the Roman Empire a dime. Never. Very important reason why. And that's because paying income tax to the federal and state governments is an act of idolatry in violation of the First Commandment, because a tax is a voluntary act of obeisance or worship to your master. Now, worship is obedience to law. Americans worship the United States of America and California, Washington, and Oregon. They don't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, they think they do, and they claim they do, but you know, when you get right down on the bottom line, Jesus made an observation one time. It was in Luke 6:44, I believe it was. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say?" Americans are very careful to buckle their seat belts, but they're not very careful about paying their tithes or wearing 100% cotton clothes instead of mixed fabrics, or crossbreeding their cattle, or practicing the Sabbath. They steal with unjust weights and balances. They use Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, checks, mortgages. They pay usury and interest, and they charge it, practice it, they live in it, wallow in it, and think they're doing God a service in the process. Well, when you deal in trade, commerce, business, and industry affecting a public interest, you have to pay an income tax. Now let's take a look at what Jesus had to say here in Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Is it legal, lawful, scriptural, for you to pay tax to the United States government? Because that's what they ask Jesus. Now, in the Messiah's day, what they were after here is they wanted him to answer, no, you should not be paying your taxes to Caesar. You should be paying your taxes your tithe to God, the Levites in the temple. You know, God gave us a taxing law. It's called the tithing law. It goes clear back into ancient times. Clear back into the days of Moses. And God said, here's the way I want you to finance government. I want you to take this government and I want you to finance it, and we're going to have a tithe here. And that's what he called it. He called it a tithe. T-I-T-H-E. A wild, crazy idea, no doubt about it. And for instance, in Genesis 14:20, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. That's Abraham paid tithes directly to Melchizedek in Salem. And in Genesis 28:22, Jacob did the same thing, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. So you take everything that God gave him, he gave the tenth to God. Hey, this is a long time before Moses. Tithing was in force and effect before Moses, before Mount Sinai. But in Numbers 18:20-32 is a tithing statute. And Leviticus 27:30-34 is a tithing statute. Deuteronomy 12:5-19 is a tithing statute. Deuteronomy 14:22-29 is a tithing statute. You can't find any authority in the Scripture for paying an income tax to the state. Now let's listen to what Jesus had to say in Matthew 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel about how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that you're true, and you teach the way of God in truth, and neither carest thou for any man, for you regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And Jesus perceived their wickedness. What was their wickedness? These clowns were a couple of undercover agents seeking admissions and confessions out of his own mouth by which they might condemn him for conspiracy to defraud the government of his revenue or tax evasion. That's what they were after. And he said to them plainly, he called them hypocrites. So all of you undercover agents out there who go around the countryside seeking admissions and confessions from people, that's your occupation. Hypocrisy is your occupation. You do not seek in truth answers to your questions. You seek an occasion against the person that you're asking the question of. So all undercover agents working for government are hypocrites. It's their job. They are paid professional hypocrites. Nothing more, nothing less. Fortunately, in this case, the Messiah recognized their hypocrisy, and he said, well, let's take a look here and let's see. I'm going to dig out a Federal Reserve note. Why don't you do that? Just go dig out a Fed note someplace. $1 bill will do. And look on the face of it, because Jesus said, give me one of these coins. And he said, show me the tribute money. And they brought it to him, a penny. Now this penny is coined by who? Coined by the Roman Empire. Now pull out your Federal Reserve note. Now here's a Fed note. What does it say? Right at the top it says Federal Reserve Note. Federal Reserve Note. That's an obligation of the Federal Reserve. People in America use Federal Reserve notes for money. It's really preposterous on its face. It's not money. It's a note. Go look up the word note in a legal dictionary and you'll tell you it's an obligation. Money is an asset. This isn't an asset. It's evidence of a debt. Well, Jesus took this penny and he said, whose image is on this? And they said to him, well, it's Caesar's. Then saith he to them, well, render therefore unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. What is it that is God's? The tithe. And the tithe is a tax on property. You physically, when you have sheep like I have, and you have 50 sheep or 50 lambs come out in a year, I have to take five of those and I have to tithe those five. The property itself, they're not redeemable. You don't just take the money and go pay it. You have to pay the tithe. The tithe is paid in sheep. Now, over in Numbers chapter 30 is an instruction. It has to do with your word. And in order for you to pay an income tax, you have to give your word. You have to sign a contract. And you do that when you sign up for Social Security. That's what makes you a taxpayer. Social Security. So you went down and you got a Social Security number so that you could work in trade, commerce, business, and industry affecting a public interest, and you're paid in dollars, Federal Reserve notes, for which you owe your master, the Federal Reserve and the USA Incorporated. Did you see that? The Federal Reserve note is a note guaranteed by the United States of America. The United States of America is a paper fiction. It really doesn't exist. It's a god, makes law. It's a god of our own devising is what it really boils down to. God says he's going to throw our carcasses upon the steps of our temples and our gods. It's yet future, hadn't happened yet, but he says that's what he's going to do to it. So here you got this Federal Reserve note, and you have an obligation through Social Security. You signed a contract. You are a taxpayer. You owe this tax to your master, the United States of America. And then in Revelation 18, verse 4, he says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you not receive of her plagues. Has anybody ever thought of coming out of the United States of America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and obeying God and keeping his commandments? I know it's a wild new concept. But have you ever thought that maybe tithing is a better program than income tax? Now there's a last sentence. He says, and when they heard these words, they marveled. they marveled and left him, and they went their way. Well, let me tell you the same story. Here we are 2,000 years later. And if you have a contract with the United States of America, you should pay your income tax. And remember, God told you in Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You cannot serve the United States of America and the God of Abraham at the same time. Now make up your mind. Either pay your income tax or pay your tithe. You owe one or the other, but you don't owe both. Now most of you do owe the income tax. I'd say about 99.999% of you do. There might be a common law free man running around in America here and there. And I remember there was an old-timey prophet. His name was Elijah, and he was really discouraged one day, and he was bummed out, and he said, I'm the last man in Israel to practice this law. And Big Mike came up to him and said, oh, no, Elijah. I have reserved 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, people who pay the income tax have bowed their knee to Baal. Most people prefer it. Most Americans would rather pay a 40% income tax than they would a 10% tithe. It isn't that they want to pay more money, it's that they don't want to pay that tithe to God. And you'll read about that story in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Our people came up to our last king. His name was Samuel, and they said, hey, Samuel, we want a king like all the nations around us. We want a George Bush who's going to give us a national sales tax on top of our income tax. We're not being taxed enough. This 10% just doesn't hack it. We need a king. God said, okay, but you'll cry out in the day when I give you this king, and when you do, you cry out for relief, I won't hear you. Stand by, I'll be right back. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, when you're making $50,000 a year, you pay $7,650 in Social Security taxes. Then you pay a 17% income tax on that same $50,000 a second time. That's another $8,500. That means you just paid an extra $1,300 by paying your tax on a tax. And that makes the real effective Social Security tax rate 17.8%, not the 15.3% that's being advertised. Now, isn't that just special? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call me here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Help take a bite out of crime. Call and ask for my free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. And remember, tax and status is also available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? All right, we're talking about tax protest in the scriptures. We just talked about Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. Jesus called the undercover operatives in his day hypocrites. I think that's exactly what they are today, hypocrites. Paid professional hypocrites who are out trying to deceive people to get information from them so that they can use that information that they gather out of their own mouths against them, charging them with tax evasion, willful failure to file, conspiracy to defraud the government of its revenue, or something on that order. That's what they were trying to do to Jesus, and he outfoxed them. He just came back and he said just exactly what you ought to be telling the authorities today. Let me see. This superscription, whose is on it? Federal Reserve note. You should pay with Federal Reserve notes to the United States of America, each and every one of you who has a contract. Each and every one of you should render unto the United States that which is the United States. And that's this worthless fiat paper currency. And in fact, God prohibits us from dealing in this worthless currency. He says, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. You'll see that in two places, Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16, and Leviticus 19, 35 and 36. And it's the two statutes that are the outgrowth of thou shalt not steal. It's against the law to steal with unjust weights and balances, and that's exactly what these Federal Reserve notes are. You use credit cards and work a theft on everybody that you deal with. And you have to pay a penalty for that, and that penalty is income tax. That income tax is the penalty that you pay for the violation of the law of God. All right, now the second one. Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27. When they were coming to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter, and he said, well, does your master pay tribute? Now, here's a tax collector. He comes up to a friend of the alleged taxpayer, and he says, hey, does your buddy Bob pay his income tax? Now, Peter, had he been paying attention to the scripture, would have said, I don't know. Why don't you go ask Bob? He's of age. Why are you asking me? And that's because government agents are hypocrites. They don't come up to people and ask them directly. They sneak around behind their backs and they go to their banks and bank accounts. They don't respect anybody's privacy. They don't practice the Fourth Amendment. Government agents have no respect for the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, or the laws of the land. They are the agents of their master, the USA Incorporated, which is a foreign and alien god, a sovereign. You know what a sovereign is? Go look it up in the law dictionary. A sovereign. Well, the state of Texas is a sovereign. It's called the sovereign state of Texas. It's a state, kingdom, or an empire. God is a sovereign nation. He formed the nation called Israel. He said, I will be your God. I will be your sovereign. I will be your king. I'm the King of kings and Lord of lords, he told us. Well, of course, he made a dumb mistake when he made that claim. We all know better than that. We know that the United States of America is our God. We know that America is our sovereign. We know that America is the King of Kings, the only superpower on planet Earth. Certainly it isn't the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now is it? Well, back in Moses' day, he thought he was, and so he said, I am that I am. He said, I'm a sovereign. Now just take a look in the dictionary, and you'll find that a sovereign is a lawmaker. God is a lawmaker. He gave us a law out at Mount Sinai. He said, thou shalt not steal. He said, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag. He said, you shall truly tithe all of the increase of your fields. Jacob said, yeah, I'll pay my tithe. Abraham said, yeah, I'll pay my tithe. Isaac paid his tithe. And then God asks this question in Malachi 3. He said, will a man rob God? And rhetorically, we ask, well, how do we rob you, God? And he answers, he said, in tithes and offerings, you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The whole nation of the United States of America has, is, and is continuing to rob God. So when this tax collector came up to Peter and said, does your master pay tribute? Peter wanted to cover for the boss. So he said, oh yeah, yeah, the boss, he pays his taxes. Oh yes, sir, Rebob. Jesus, he pays his taxes. If that statement were true, and Jesus were paying his taxes to the Roman Empire, well then he was an idolater, violating the first commandment that says, you shall have no other gods before me. Or he sure wasn't following his own advice that he gave us in Matthew 6:24 when he said, no man can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and hold the other, or vice versa. So either Jesus paid his tithe or he paid his tax. Peter said, oh yeah, he pays his tax. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented. He anticipated what he had been talking about. That word prevented is kind of an old English term there. He said he anticipated what Peter had been talking about. And he said, well, what do you think, Peter? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter said to him, all strangers. Now, all of you taxpayers out there are strangers. I think most of you people listening to me right now are taxpayers. You ever stop to think about, well, are you children or taxpayers? Are you children or strangers? Well, it comes under the word resident. Go look that up in a legal dictionary and you'll find out that a resident is a foreigner and an alien. And all you people are residents, aren't you? Well, aren't you? Don't you call yourself a resident of California? In fact, all these states require residency. They got a residency requirement. You know, if you're living in the state for 90 days, we call you a resident of California, a resident of Missouri. And then you take a look at what a resident is in the dictionary, you find out it's a foreigner and an alien. And government is taxing all of you residents, all of you foreigners and aliens, all of you strangers. The government doesn't tax the children. Well, how did you become residents? Did you do something to alienate your citizenship from the kingdom of Israel? Have you become citizens of the United States of America instead of the kingdom of Israel? And if so, how'd that happen and why? I mean, did you Christians out there want to be citizens of the kingdom of God, or the residents and the citizens of the United States of America, or Germany, or France, or somebody else? Are you strangers and sojourners here in the land, or are you the natives? You know, I don't know. You'll have to answer that question for yourself. Peter said, or Jesus said to him, well, then are the children free? Because Peter said, well, they tax the strangers. And that's exactly correct. The United States and California are taxing you strangers, you residents. And Jesus said unto him, then, are the children free? The children are free of these taxes. That's the income tax and Social Security. But not if you go down and sign up for it. I mean, you know, it's a voluntary act on your part. You went down and did it. You got to ask yourself, well, what do I have to do to undo it? But that's another story for another time. Let's face reality right now. Guy called me a couple of days ago, and he's telling me about the IRS is investigating him and his wife criminally, and they asked him what he did, and he said, well, he's a doctor, and his wife is a doctor, and they have bank accounts and social security numbers, and they haven't been filing and paying their taxes. And I said, well, you know, that's a criminal act there, you know that? People call here quite often, you know, and they want to ask questions. You tell them the answer, that isn't what they wanted to hear. They didn't want to hear that. And sometimes I get kind of angry. Well, why are you angry with me? And all I am is the messenger. I'm not Congress. I don't make these tax laws. I'm not the president. I'm not out here enforcing them. I'm not the IRS agent. I'm not out here investigating you and asking you questions and trying to incriminate you. And I didn't call you. You called me. I tell people like that, I say, you know, partner, you called me and asked me plainly, and I told you plainly, if you didn't want to know, why did you ask? So before you call the law school and get mad at me for the answer I'm going to give you, don't call. If you don't want to hear what I've got to say, keep it to yourself. Now, Peter is the guy that opened his big mouth and then blabbed to the government agent, the hypocrite, who was looking for an accusation. So the Messiah said, well, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. You want to get prosecuted? You go down to the sea, cast in a hook, take up a fish that first comes up, and when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money there. You take that piece of money and you give it to them for you and me. All right, let's analyze this. The IRS agent comes along and cites this scripture, Matthew 17:24-27, said, Jesus paid his taxes and set us an example that you should pay your taxes. Old Mark Twain had a neat saying. He said, you know, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. This is one of those damn lies. Now pay attention to what the scripture says. It says, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou. Who? Peter. Go, Peter, to the sea and cast a hook. Take up the fish that comes up, and when you've opened his mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Who paid the tax? Just read it for yourself. As I say down at the Blue Room, read them and weep. Jesus didn't pay the tax. Peter paid the tax. Peter's the one that opened his big mouth. Peter's the one that gave the incriminating testimony to the undercover agent. Why didn't Jesus go over to Judas and say, hey, Judas, go on down there and pay the taxes, would you? Because if he had, he would have been committing idolatry, doing obeisance, violating the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, paying his tax to a foreign and alien god. He didn't do that. He said, go down to a neutral party, get the money out of a fish, you take it down and pay it for both of us. Seeing as how you're the one that said I was a taxpayer, we'll go down there and pay the tax. And more than likely, Peter was a taxpayer, because after all, Peter was a commercial fisherman. No evidence that Jesus was a commercial fisherman or a commercial carpenter. And that's because commerce is trafficking. Trafficking comes from the Canaanites. They're called Canaanite traffickers. Commerce. Hey, you ever had your chamber of commerce in your local town? Did you know commerce is prohibited in the scripture? Commerce is a criminal activity. Commerce, not property. Commerce is the opposite of property. Americans don't practice property and property rights. Americans don't practice thou shalt not steal. We practice commerce, trade, commerce, business, and industry, affecting a public interest with commercial paper, practicing usury and interest. You take a look at what the Bible teaches and what we practice, and it's the exact opposite, isn't it? All right, we've got to take another break here. Hang on, I'll be right back with more right after this. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Tonight's report on tax protest in the scriptures right after this. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only on the super wealthy, the richest one half of 1% of our population, with a total tax rate of only 7%. Today, of course, the fears of the early opponents of the tax have been more than fully realized. And by the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top tax rate had jumped to 60%. By the time Franklin Roosevelt was done, the top rate was over 90%. And the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. Now, in 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th to earn enough to satisfy the tax man. This year, the average American family had to work all the way through May the 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local taxes. When you compare that to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output, and they were considered slaves. Now, what do you think that makes us? Now, this income tax and Social Security violate three of the Ten Commandments and eight statutes of the Old Covenant, including our English common law. The income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. Social Security is the eighth plank. That's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Now, for more information about tax and status, just call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Click on to the email. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Okay, we're talking about taxes. President Bush is throwing out some feelers here. He plans on, in his second term, coming up with a value-added tax. You know, the communists have been thinking about that value-added tax called a VAT, V-A-T. National sales tax is what it is. Notice they always come to you and say, well, we'll take off the income tax and we'll give you the value-added tax. Did you think that they're going to give you the value-added tax because it's going to bring in less money or more? Did you think your government's out here doing you a favor? Or did you think they were sticking it to you again? I'll leave that up to you to decide. Let's analyze these two scriptures here. Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 22, 15 through 22 are oftentimes cited by IRS agents and preachers and others who are out here trying to sell you the income tax and Social Security, and they tell you, Jesus paid his taxes. He did. It was called a tithe, and he paid it to the Levites. He never paid a dime to the federal or state governments of his day, the Roman Empire, or the Judean government. Not a dime. Never. At any time. And if he did, he was a liar, he was a thief, and an idolater. Out of his own mouth. I didn't write the law. I'm just here to tell you. So in Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27, we see, first of all, Peter paid the tax, not Jesus. Two, the children are free from paying the tax. Three, the strangers owe the tax. The tax was paid by a third party, the fish, not the Messiah. And of course, why didn't the Messiah just say to Judas, you know, who kept the bag, the log, you go pay the tax, because paying a tax is an act of public worship or obedience to your master, which is prohibited by the First Commandment. Income tax is a counterfeit of tithing. Peter opened his big mouth and said that the Messiah paid tax to the Romans. It wasn't Jesus that said that. It was Peter. Read it for yourself. And now that Peter had said, yes, the Messiah pays his taxes, which was not true. He didn't. The Messiah said, lest we offend them, you go get the tax money from a fish, so as not to violate the First Commandment. And it was Peter, not the Messiah, who paid the tax. And there is no mention here, or is there any instruction here, for you to go and pay an income tax to any government other than that of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that tax, by the way, is called a tithe. T-I-T-H-E. Now let's look at the second scripture that government and religion use to make us believe, or to tell us that we should pay this income tax. First of all, this is not an instruction by God or Jesus to pay the income tax. Second, this is an undercover government sting to entrap the Messiah in a criminal activity called tax evasion and conspiracy to deprive the government of its revenue. Third, he called them hypocrites. Fourth, he answered their query. Fifth, he told us to pay our tithe or tithes. Sixth, he did not go beyond the question asked. The question asked was, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar or not? The answer is no, it is not. But if you contract with Caesar's government, then render unto Caesar that which you contract for. Numbers 30 requires that what proceeds out of your mouth cannot return again. A man's word is his bond. Now, if you don't want to pay the income tax and Social Security, then why don't you terminate the contract rather than evade or violate the terms and conditions of the contract? Why don't you terminate the contract? Let's try it on for size. Let's suppose you got a Sears cart and you get upset with Sears and you decide that Sears is a bunch of crooks and you don't want to deal with them anymore and you don't want to pay them their monthly fee and you think they're robbing you. So what do? Just stop making the payments? Keep the card? Isn't that breach of contract? Wouldn't you be better served if you called Sears, told them, cancel my account, paid them up to date, sent them back your credit card, and go deal at Walmart? Wouldn't that make more sense? Tax protesters have it a little bit different. They say, well, the government's a bunch of crooks and thieves. We're dissatisfied with them, so we're not going to terminate our contract under Social Security. After all, someday we might want that. We might need it. Second, I don't want to pay them, so I'm just not going to pay them. And I'm going to continue taking all the benefits and all the privileges that go along with it. Of course, the government looks at that and they say, well, it's voluntary. You volunteered, and if you don't want the benefits, you could terminate. I don't know of very many Americans that are terminating the contract. They just quit paying. They just say, stick it where there's no daylight. We're not going to do this. And then, of course, they get into trouble, and they find out they're being prosecuted by the government, and they say there's no justice in America. No justice. Well, what's wrong with the government enforcing the law upon those who have volunteered to pay the tax and then don't pay it? What's wrong with enforcing the terms and conditions of a contract that you voluntarily entered into? Now, take a Federal Reserve note out of your pocket, and whose superscription do you see there? Doesn't it say Federal Reserve note? Well, then why don't you render to the Federal Reserve that which is the Federal Reserve's? Now, what is God's? Well, because the next phrase is, and unto God the things that are God's. What is God's tax? What is it that is due to God from us? Well, it's called the tithe. Listen to this. In Genesis 14, verse 20, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Genesis 28, verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you shall give to me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 34. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. Let me just pause here for a moment. Did you hear that? And all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees. Whether you're a grain farmer and you're harvesting wheat, or you're an orchardist and you're harvesting the fruit off of your trees, one-tenth of it, the tithe, is the eternal's. It is holy unto God. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add therefore the fifth part thereto. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the eternal. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Eternal commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. That's Leviticus 27, 30, verse 34. The tithe is a tax on property, direct tax on property. The income tax is an excise tax. It's an indirect tax, and it's a tax on commercial paper. The government doesn't seek to get to your sheep or your cows or your wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It seeks to get to the value of the cows, the sheep, the wheat, the corn, the beans, the honey, and the oil. In Numbers 18, verses 23 or 32, and the Eternal spoke unto Aaron, "You shall have no inheritance in their land, and neither shall you have any part among them. I am your part, and I am your inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance." Now today we have a thing here in the United States called the civil service. It's a counterfeit of the Levitical priesthood. God separated out one tribe to handle the governmental affairs. And we said, well, that ain't fair. We ought to have that. And so today, all of you civil service employees are in violation of Numbers 18, 20 through 32. Civil service employees are in violation of the statute. He says, "I've given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance and for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Tabernacle, temple, state capital, capital building. "Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levite shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. And it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance." In order to eliminate this thing of a conflict of interest, government workers don't participate in trade, commerce, business, or industry affecting a public interest. Their inheritance is the tax, the tithe, for operating the schools and the buses and the filling in the potholes and the fire department, police department, and so on. All of these government services, the postal service and so on, should be run by the Levitical priesthood. "But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Eternal, I have given to the Levites to inherit, and therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them of your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Eternal, even a tenth part of the tithe." So we should be paying our tithe to the local state Levites, who in turn will tithe off of that tithe and pay the federal or the Aaronic priesthood. See, we've got two priesthoods here in the United States. We got the state priesthood and we got the federal priesthood, and that's what judges are. Judges are priests. That's why they wear those long robes. They dress kind of funny, don't they? And they should be directing our governmental operations. They do part of it, one third of it. We Americans, and I suppose that even the other Israelite nations, have a system that is very similar to what we call the civil service here in the United States. Up in Canada, your immigration officers have a seal, and on that seal they have the breastplate of the Levitical priesthood, of the Levites. Yeah, it's a little plate, and it's got 12 openings in it. Yeah, I'm just about out of time. I got to leave. We'll pick this up here again tomorrow night, same time, same station. Remember, the law is carried worldwide here on the Internet. There's the signal. Says my time's up. I got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, God willing. Same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.